It is 9:30 PM on Tuesday. It is Tuesday, isn't it? The 20th of April, 2021, and this is the Cat's Whiskers podcast, and we're live. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Cat's Whiskers podcast. I'm Jono Bullard, and with me this evening to discuss all the latest goings on in the Elite Series are Tina Taylor.
Hiya.
Antoine Marijon.
Good evening, folks. Blazers out.
And delighted to welcome from the Belfast Giants, a fan and our Belfast correspondent, Noel Gillespie.
Evening out, everyone. Hope you're well.
Great to have you along, Noel, and we'll start with you, because we were just saying before we came on, you have actually watched most of the games in this tournament, apart from the last Panthers one. So what is your overall impressions of the tournament so far?
I've really enjoyed it. I understand, like, my interest is a little bit in some of the stuff I've done during lockdown, some of the stuff I've tried to study, and looking at a few, being able, basically my thinking was, to have a set of games that I could watch back and have a look at. And they're not 100%, but at the end of the day, the level has been from the first puck drop, really. I mean, it's not blood and guts straight off, but they have been playing hockey games, and it's been hockey, and it's been good to get hockey back.
Yeah, I was we've got an interview coming up with Jason Hewitt, the Steelers forward, a little later in the show, and I was talking to him earlier today, and I was saying to him that I've been surprised at how fast the games have been, not only in the time they've taken to complete, but how quick the action seems to be. Is that something that you found?
Yeah, I think, well, completing the games, there hasn't been too much whistle-to-whistle stuff, or between-the-whistle stuff, I should say. You know, the face washes and all that, so all that's been cut out a good bit. There has been some. But I think, I mean, games, a lot of places, I think the leagues want to get down to like 2.25 hours for a game. I think that's the most of them have been in and around that kind of time. The speed of the gameplay itself, yeah, the guys have been, some of them, well, I mean, Mike Hammond has come in after a 7-game series and just looks a wee step ahead of everyone. So some guys took a wee bit to get into it, but I think overall the games have been pretty much close to, not 100%, but pretty much close to what you would see in the Elite League.
Yeah, and of course, we've had the result tonight, so we was waiting for the Steelers-Blades game to finish, which finished 5-3 to the Steelers, which sees them go back to the top of the table, 12 points, but just 3 points separating the four teams. And Tina, did you expect it to be this close at this stage?
I don't know, if I'm honest. I don't think I really thought that far ahead. I mean, I wanted to watch the series. I was interested rather than excited about it. So I think my interest has been quite casual in nature. And I think more than anything, I've been sort of using it as practice to get back into my spreadsheet and my charts. So it's nice that it's close. It makes for an interesting competition because, I mean, you know, you sort of rewind a few games and you know, we were sort of looking a bit like fodder, if I'm honest. But it just goes to show what, you know, a good run of results can do. So it's nice that it's close, but I don't really know what I was expecting, to be honest. As I say, just, you know, it was more sort of casual interest than anything else.
Ant, you? How do you feel about it?
Well, I've enjoyed it, apart from, you know, some of our performances. Certainly the last week's been a lot better. I think our intensity's gone up a notch. We got a point. Okay, we got a point out of the Blaze game on Saturday, but it was one of those games where you hold your head in the hands going, how the smeg have we not, you know, absolutely obliterated this team? We were all over them. It's good to see. And then while we've put our little run together, all the other teams have been beating each other. So, yeah, it is a lot tighter than I thought it would be. But it's all about, you know, momentum into that semi-finals and seeing what happens in the semis.
Yeah. Well, we will talk about Panthers' three games. Much, much better week for the Panthers than the last time that we were on air. So we'll be discussing those games, looking at the other important events as well within the series. And as I say, later on, we have an interview with Steelers forward Jason Hewitt. So stick around for that. And if you want to get in touch with us during the show, best way is via Twitter. It's at CatsWhiskersTV. Let us know your thoughts on the series, the players, anything else that you would like us to discuss within the time that we've got. But we will start with Friday night's game, which was Panthers taking on the Sheffield Steelers, and Panthers finally coming away with a 4-3 victory against the Sheffield Steelers. Pelini, Matheson and Boivin with two for the Panthers' four goals as they stormed into a 4-0 lead before the end of the first period. Steelers gradually coming back throughout the game but couldn't find that equaliser. Jason Hewitt, Mick Hiska and Kirk with the goals for them. So, Noel, I'll start with you. What did you think of the game overall? Did you think when Panthers went 4-0 ahead, they was going to just run away with it?
I didn't think they were going to run away with it because Sheffield have been too good. And any time they have been behind, they just get into the zone and start cycling. And they did that more or less for two periods. Hughes did a very good job of stopping them getting in the third period and shut the game down quite well, I thought. But it's that kind of thing. I think some of this has been coming. There was a few games back where the game against Coventry in the 11th, I think you lost that game, but things were starting to turn around. I think from that point, you were starting to put a better game together. And it's that kind of thing. For me, watching them, it's kind of slowly built up over time to the point where I'm not entirely surprised that they're competing with Sheffield. I just think they had a very good game. They had a very good game combating Sheffield's usual attacks.
Tina and Ant, we've been here before when it comes to Panthers against Steelers, and sometimes you feel that 4-0 is never enough, and it nearly proved to be the case. But to be fair, Ant, they showed a lot of grit and determination, the Panthers, to hold on and get that regulation win.
They did. There was, throwing bodies in front of the puck, defending, just trying to get rid of the trash, so to speak, in front of the net. But yeah, like you say, 4-0 up against any team, you sort of sat there thinking, well, yeah, this is done and dusted. Add a couple more in the next two periods and we're laughing. But as it is with whenever we play them, it's never over. and I was chatting to one of my mates who's a Sheffield fan, and she was like, oh, you've won this game, no problem. And I was like, no, there's still two periods left. we've seen it all before.
Yeah, I mean, Tina, it was getting a bit hairy in that third period, and especially when they made it 4-3, I think with 90 seconds or so left. Did you, like me, think, you know what, it's going to happen again, isn't it?
Of course, absolutely. I mean, yeah, what Panthers fan wouldn't? How many times have they done it to us where they, score a last-second goal or something ridiculous and then absolutely do us over in overtime? Even in my short time as a Panthers fan, I've seen it far too many times. So I was almost watching that last minute or two through my hands and, head in my hands and just going, oh, God, how do we get here? And like Ant said, 4-0 in the first period. Yeah, fine. It's very encouraging. But you can't write them off. One, because it's the Steelers and they do it to us all the time. But they do it to other teams as well. But they seem to love doing it to us. Just because all of our goals were scored in the first period. So, that's two periods where, they can try and break us down. So, if those four goals would have been sort of spaced out over the three periods, then you've got a bit more confidence that the guys are sort of dialed in and the intensity is still there. But I obviously I can't speak for the players. Going 4-0 up in the first period, there can be that complacency creeping in, going, yeah, we've got this sort of attitude, and we really. you know, we didn't score again. So, you know, all the action happened in that first period for the Panthers. I mean, yeah, there was action, obviously, but just no more goals. So if they had have scored, they would probably have won in overtime, and it probably wouldn't have been undeserved.
Yeah, I didn't get home from work until towards the end of the second period. So obviously all I saw was Steelers sort of scoring goals, which is
what you're saying, Jono, is it your fault?
Yeah, it's all my fault. but yeah, one of the sort of big things with that game was the fact that Ben Churchfield was replaced in net by Curtis Warburton. And I think, to be totally fair to Warburton, for his first professional minutes, he did a grand, grand job.
He did. And it's one of those things, again, a backup goalie comes in against Panthers and Panthers don't really test him, but he made a couple of good stops. There was a breakaway. I remember him, you know,
Betteridge, you know, I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
You know, and it's fair play to the lad. And I think he started their next game as well, didn't he? The following
night. Yeah, he started tonight as well, so he started ever since.
Yeah, fair play to him. I think they've got what they've got there in their pickup in the draft is two very promising young goalies that you'd hope don't just sort of stand, you know, sit there in the next Elite League season opening the bench door. You know, get them out to an AHL, get them starting jobs. You know, to see the progression, and I think that's been a huge positive of this thing for me is the British goalies in particular. Headley's done well for Coventry, and you know, Whistle has been exceptional for us, and Bounds is looking more like his best as well. So really promising times there, I think.
I really liked an interview that Aaron Fox gave about that, where he'd said that, you know, Warburton had done the job, so he had a decision to make, and you're saying about him starting the next games. I like that that's a good coaching, I think. He's created that competition. Warburton maybe wasn't expecting to get too many starts. I mean, he's gone down in Churchfield, but he's probably gone ahead of Churchfield potentially at the minute. Whether that happens if Muse comes back or not, or if Churchfield's still the second, we don't know. But I thought it was very interesting that he was like, you know, no, we're going to give him a chance. He's proved it that first game, so we're going to give him a chance.
Talking to Netminders now, what do you make of the Whistle and Bounds dynamic? Because Whistle seemed to have come in probably expecting to play second fiddle to Bounds. And when he's been given his opportunity, when he has made starts, he's put in some great performances.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk at the start, wasn't there, about he might be traded and this, that, the other, and you only want the one. Well, that's worked out pretty well for the Panthers in the end, with the way Orange missed a couple of games through illness or injury, whatever it was. So, yeah, that's good. As I'm saying, it's the more teams or more games that different TGP goalies can get in this series, it's only going to be giving a bit more competition for, like, pushes Ben Bounds a wee bit more. For him, he can't come in and sort of coast or get him back to fitness, assuming he's the number one, because you maybe have a decision to make. I still think Bounds is number one. But do you have a decision to make there, maybe?
I wouldn't like to be in Pete Russell's shoes at the minute. I know that much. Okay, let's move on to Saturday night's game. Panthers playing the next night, and it was Blaze they were taking on, who came away with a 4-3 overtime victory. Their goals coming from Keck with two, Ferreira and Venus with the overtime winner. Panthers with Boivan, Cangelosi and Matheson on the score sheet. And Tina, I mean, Panthers dominated that game, I think it's fair to say, but had to come back from 3-1 down to lose it all in overtime. What did you make of it overall?
I think the general opinion was that, you know, Panthers were quite dominant for large parts of the game, but just didn't put enough goals in. You know, we allowed the Blaze to, you know, sort of come in and do their thing. I mean, you know, to be fair, Keck's an absolute gem. I think we discussed it last week with Simon Harris. If Blaze aren't talking to him, for a contract next season, I think they're mad. I think they're absolutely bonkers to not speak to him. He's put himself in the shop window a little bit, I reckon. But yeah, it was a frustrating watch, that game in general, because of, you know, we did all the right things except putting the puck in the back of the net.
I mean, Ant, I think this is pretty much your sentiments as well from what we was talking about while the game was on over our WhatsApp chat. But as Tina says, Keck has been really impressing for Blaze, and he is becoming the difference in a lot of these games.
He is. He's got pace, and we know he can finish. I believe he scored again tonight. So is he the top goal scorer now in the competition?
Give me two seconds.
I'll waffle for a bit more then.
Keep talking.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. I don't just think it's going to be the Blaze looking at him. I think all the Elite League teams should be, tapping him up and saying, "Hey, do you want to play for us next season? How do you find, you know, how have you found it over here in England? You know, we've got nice hotels." That's pretty much all they've probably seen. you know what I mean? So, I'd like to see him in a Panthers jersey. I think I said the same thing last week. But there's a couple of the college kids. Out of all the imports, digressing a bit, out of all the imports that have come over, it's Domingue for us, who's probably my leading import. That I like to see back, and he's come straight from college, and Keck's done the same thing. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. It'd be interesting to see how many of these imports, you know, stick around for the next Elite League season, hopefully, if there is one.
Yeah, I Noel, what do you make of the Blaze overall? Because they've been challenging the Steelers for that spot at the top of the league. But also they gave Jordan Headley the start as well on Saturday, and he had another excellent game.
He's played well when he's come in. I feel bad for Shane Owen because I think he's won too many card games in the hotel or something. The defence don't seem to be helping him too much. I think he's faced the most shots of any goalie by a considerable margin. And I think it's the same tonight, watching that game tonight against the Steelers. I don't think he was... I think that's the team that they've had the most trouble with, trying to stop shots coming through to him. They look really... Actually, the Keck Hammond Germain line is probably my favourite line to watch of all of the... Hammond, I don't remember Hammond being as good as he's been. Again, maybe it's just because he's had a full season and I think he lost a 7-game series before he came here and all this kind of stuff. Maybe it's just that. But he looks like an even better player than he was before. I don't know that he'll stick around. I think he might get an offer somewhere the way he's playing.
I must admit, Jermaine is one who's impressed me as well when I've seen him. I think you're right. I think that line clicks very, very well.
Yeah. He's a wee bit quiet the odd game here and there, but I think most times, they hit the ground running big time, those three. And then there's been a few games where Jermaine's been quiet, but it's that kind of thing where it's a Friendship 4 thing. We've seen him at the Friendship 4 over in Belfast. And he looked pretty good there. He scored, was it an overtime winner in one of the games?
Yeah.
Or a penalty shot winner, maybe? I can't remember. But he looked pretty good there. And it looks like he could quite easily translate that into the Elite League.
Noel, I will just back you up on your point about Owen. He's tonight's game aside, he has faced over 40 shots per game on average.
Yeah. It's something I've been looking at. I've been interested in some of that kind of stat stuff more so than I normally would be. And looking at it, like there's some games where he's facing 56, 53, 49 shots. Sometimes they're being kept out of the danger zone that's outside, but a lot of time, especially against the Steelers, it's been in the house, as they say.
He must have thought it was his birthday, second game. He only faced 26.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the best one I've had, but.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll leave the Blaze game there and go back to last evening where the Panthers took on the Manchester Storm for the third time in this series. And Panthers once again coming away with the victory 4-3 out of 3 against the Storm. So Panthers goals coming from Betteridge, Dineen and Deming with a double. Storms 3 coming from Lundell Knorr, Critchlow and Simmons. And Ant, for you, the best Panthers performance so far?
It's certainly up there. I actually thought our best performance came on Saturday against the Blaze, to be honest. We did everything to get, you know, except put the puck in the back of the net the way we should be. Whereas, you know, last night, I thought we were just really, really well. I thought we cycled the puck well. Shock horror, our power play looked quite dangerous, albeit, you know, against the weakest penalty kill unit in the league, but still, you know, take all the positives. And I didn't think there was a bad performance. And that goal from Mr. Betteridge, take a bow, take a boo, son. In a very bad Andy Gray impression.
Oh, it's like Liam Stenton's joined us once again.
Move swiftly on from there. But yeah, it was. I think he said in his interview in the period, Brady, he blacked out for a second there, didn't he? So he obviously thought he turned into a bit of Gretzky. But yeah, it was a lovely move. And I think I said in our chat, didn't I? That I says that was blooming brilliant. Bit lucky, but mostly brilliant.
Yeah, great finish. The thing is, though Tina, we allowed Storm back into the game, and it seems a trait of Panthers in this series where we seem to have comfortable leads and then let teams back in. 3-1 and 4-2 up, but Storm once again pressing at the end to try and take it into overtime.
Yeah, it's awful, but we've kind of become used to it, I think. You know, we did it against the Steelers, did it against the Storm. You know, we let, the Blaze took us in overtime, you know. So we like to make it exciting, don't we? It was a bit frustrating. Yeah, it was a little bit frustrating because I think, you know, it was probably preventable. I just want to, you know, just from the last game that we were talking about, where, you know, we were just mentioning players of note. Lundell Knorr has done, he's been doing really well for the Storm. So I think he deserves a quick honourable mention. I've been, you know, quite impressed with what he's doing there, and he seems to fit in really well with that team. So you know, it's a good team that Finity's put together. He knew what he wanted. He knew he didn't want the number one draft pick. So you know, he's put a team together that he wanted, and it seems to be, you know, going quite well. I think there's going to be one or two that he's going to be looking at. I mean, he's already nicked Joe Hazeldine off us, and I don't think I'm over that yet, quite frankly. You know, me putting me champion of young Brits hat on.
But he's given Joe the opportunity.
Exactly,
and he's given him the minutes.
Exactly. Which is frustratingly what we haven't done, and you know, it's kind of like losing, you know, not scoring the 101 or more with six darts. Is have a look at what you could have won. You know, it's just annoying because I know that, you know, if you have to take, you know, it's a risk putting the young Brits out there, and I'm digressing a bit and I apologize, so you just have to cut me off if I start going off on a real proper tangent, and I will whinge about this probably for my entire life as a Panthers fan, but it's a risk putting them out there, but you've got to balance it against the reward, because, you know, we're now looking at Joe Hazeldine and how he's flourishing with the Manchester Storm, and we could have done that. You know, we could have, you know, he's signed there now, so you know, he's going to probably make a go of it there, and you know, he's going to look favourably upon a team who gave him the bigger opportunity, you know, gave him the minutes and put the faith in him. Whereas we said, we're going to name you on the team, but, you know, you might get two or three shifts, but, you know, we'll see how we go, sort of thing. And it really, really frustrates me. And I get it. I get it that, you know, the hockey's got to be competitive, but you've got to, the Brits have got to make their way, you know. There's got to be a pathway, because otherwise, and I've probably said this before, so I'm probably going to get myself into broken record territory, otherwise you start turning into the ISL, and which is going to disappear in his own backside very quickly, as you know, you guys have seen in the past. So, it's frustrating. If they're not good enough, if you don't think they're good enough, don't sign them. Because if you're not going to play them, it's a waste seeing them sat on the bench. So I wish Joe Hazeldine all the luck in the world. He's obviously going to do well. And I know he's going to do well because he's a good player. And he's going to get, you know, he's going to get the faith and the encouragement and the tutelage that he needs, but just with another team.
Okay. Nice, lovely big rant. We love a big rant here on
Cats. I would just like to put this disclaimer out there. I did not intend to go there, but you know, these things happen.
Yeah, I led you there. Don't worry. for the Panthers, we've got Boivin and Deming in the battle for top point scorer. Christophe Boivin coming straight from university. Kevin Deming just with 11 games for the Tulsa Oilers in the ECHL. And they've both been really tearing it up. And it's good to see these players coming with very little or no pro experience and absolutely slotting in like they've always been here.
It could be very important, I think, maybe for next season, because obviously we don't know what way next season is going to look like yet. But if you can bring in players, I don't know if they're cheaper or not, but if they are, then the normal imports, we could probably still have a pretty decent level of import in the league without breaking the bank and being able to put together the league and keep everyone kind of running well enough. I think that, as I say, we don't know obviously what's going to happen yet, so I'm speculating a bit there. But yeah, like the college guys, I mean, we saw with Darcy Murphy obviously coming in, and he was quite good in the end.
Do you think that link with the NCAA that the Giants have with regards to the Friendship Four, it has started to pay dividends for you now?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I'd say we had that. Liam Morgan was at the Friendship Four, I believe. Charles Corcoran, who was at Dundee and Coventry, I believe. He played in the Friendship Four. So there's already been, there was somebody, who was it? I think there was someone at the Storm too. I can't think of his name now. So there's been about four or five that have come through, either played in the Friendship Four or come through that kind of those kind of ranks. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's on the one hand we have benefited most because we had Morgan and Murphy, but like I think the league itself, it's opened the door definitely for players to come in through that route, and if they don't get the chance to go into, and again, it's the shop window. You're maybe getting a couple better imports potentially. You may then want to go on to Germany or wherever, which again Darcy Murphy did. In the end, I think definitely it's been very good. I'd say there haven't been too many yet, but I think hopefully it comes back. Hopefully we can get that up and running again, because it's a brilliant tournament in its own right. It's incredible to watch and be there and see live.
Yeah,
great weekend of hockey. So hopefully we can get it up and running again, and then keep that pipeline coming to Belfast.
I can get my usual November trip over to work on it, because I love it. It's my favourite job of the year, without any shadow of a doubt. I absolutely love working it, and it, like you say, a great standard of hockey to watch.
Can I just jump in with something that just randomly popped into my head? And I don't know what you guys think about it. I'm sorry, John, I asked the question. It was more of a rhetorical question, because I'm going to do it anyway. I don't know if this is something I predict or whether it's just something that I fear, but I am concerned about, because the Elite League was making, noticeable strides every year with the standard of hockey that was being played. And I just wonder, because we've had to shut down for a year, because the resources just didn't exist to support an Elite League happening behind closed doors, I just wonder what damage that will have done, I can't think of a better way to put it, but to the reputation of the Elite League. Because there were good things, being talked about, in terms of the Elite League. It wasn't just your Joe Grimaldi whacking a helmet at somebody, and stuff like, it was always the bad stuff that was in, the overseas press. But we were starting to, get noticed. And I just fear, I think, that perhaps it's going to set us back you know, a few seasons and maybe take us a little while to bring that standard back up again.
I think Liam Kirk could help with that, personally. Because he's obviously come back into this series. He's still high profile. I'm pretty sure he'll be going back to North America next season, or at least I hope he will be. Because I think on the performances he's shown so far, he's far too good for this standard of hockey. Far too good. And I think he is a big selling point for the Elite League.
Do you think maybe as well with the Elite Series, as much as it is a TB training camp and whatever you want to call it, but the fact that we're still a week or two to go for it to all run smoothly, but for that to run smoothly, would that be it? I mean, that the coaches have already said about being a selling point for bringing players into the league. I mean, I think Aaron Fox, did he mention something about Sander Olden? Maybe not this year, maybe not next year, maybe the year after? Because he's probably too good at it. So
Cangelosi as well for the Panthers, I think, is probably... he's a very, very good player, and he's already signed in Norway for next season. But I think for a similar reason, he could probably be looking to bring him back to Nottingham in a couple of seasons' time, maybe. It's one of those wait and sees, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. I mean, I don't want to, you know, I'm not saying that this is what I think will happen and, you know, doom and gloom, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to, obviously. But yeah, I just worry about the damage that's been done, you know, and it's not our fault. It's not the Elite League's fault for a change, you know.
Well, we'll move on and play an interview that I did with Jason Hewitt earlier today. He's been away from the Elite League for 5 seasons playing in the National League and has come back for the Elite Series drafted by the Steelers. Here's what he had to say earlier today. Delighted to welcome to the Cat's Whiskers podcast a legend of the Sheffield Steelers. It's Jason Hewitt. Welcome to the show, Huey.
Cheers, mate.
Just over halfway through the tournament, how are you finding it so far?
It's been good. Obviously, I'm really enjoying it. You know, playing with a smile on my face and being around some pretty special players. It's definitely challenging, but I'm getting good opportunities, so I'm loving it.
How are you finding the schedule? Because I imagine it's great for match fitness. You're playing a lot of games in a short period of time, but is there a bit of fatigue there, or are you finding it okay so far?
To be fair, I feel a lot better than I thought I would. I know when we first looked at the schedule and you saw weeks like this when it's Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and then even we played Sunday, so sort of 5 games in 8 nights, you look at it and you're like, geez, I don't know I'm going to deal with that. But surprisingly, I think definitely coming out of that other Spring Cups definitely helped, but... yeah, legs are holding up good and feel good for it.
I mean, you seem to have slotted straight back into the Elite League standard. You've got 5 goals and 2 assists so far. You must be pretty delighted with your own personal performance.
Yeah, I think statistically, yeah, I think if you'd said that to me sort of when we last spoke a few weeks ago, I'd have snatched your hand off. I'm like I just mentioned, I'm being given great opportunity with some great players. So I think that was one of my biggest sort of concerns coming into it was, will I get those opportunities? And when I do, can I make it work? And thankfully so far, 8 games in, it's clicking. And there's other bits of my game that I think can still improve. There's not much time and space out there. So it's just making a few better decisions in certain aspects of the game. But I think other than that, I'm fairly happy with where I'm at so far.
Talk about Great Britain, because there have been calls from some quarters for you to be included in the World Championship squad due to the form, the way you played in the Spring Cup, the way you've approached and the way you're playing in this tournament. Is that something you would consider if Pete Russell added you to the squad?
Oh, 100%. Don't get me wrong, it's not something I've given much thought. But if someone called me today and said, do you want to come, I'd snatch their hand off. It's interesting because I think with the situation and them not being able to get relegated and stuff like that, I think, you know, if my phone doesn't ring, I won't be surprised at all. I think it's a perfect opportunity to get some younger guys that experience and guys who have got a big future ahead of them. So, but yeah, to answer your question, if they called, I'd I'd book my own flight right now, to be fair.
Just on to the Steelers, and obviously Muse's injury in net has meant some starts for Ben Churchfield and Curtis Warburton. How do you think they've slotted in? Because they've been getting a lot of very well-deserved plaudits. And how good is it for British hockey that two young British netminders are getting plenty of ice time?
It's great. It's great for them. And obviously, we're not the deepest nation in hockey in general, but certainly in the goaltending department, there's probably Churchy, Gosney, Brad Day, probably. Obviously, Curtis now, who's given a good account of himself. But I think after that, it's sort of, it is a shallow pool of players. So it's fantastic for them. I know there's been Churchy had a little bit of a rough night there with the Nottingham game, and that's give Curtis his opportunity. But it's going to happen. I think Churchy's just 25 years old and come out of university hockey. So it's his first year pro, essentially. So I think what he's done so far has been great. And now Curtis has had his chance, and you saw what he can do the other night. And certainly the Manchester game, there's nothing more he could have done to help us in that. We just got to put the puck in the net. Mm.
And final question, as we come to the end of the group stages and looking ahead to the semi-finals, do you feel the Steelers are in a good place to enter that semi-final series?
For sure, yeah. I think, you know, you've seen a lot of the games, and I think we're dominating games. I'd say probably 40 minutes of every game we're on the front foot. We've dried up a little bit the last couple of games, but I don't think we've not changed anything, and I don't think it's necessarily anything teams are doing. It's just sometimes it doesn't go in. But I think we're definitely confident. I think, you know, no disrespect to Curtis and those guys, it's made it a little more challenging for us, I think. But I think we're good enough to protect those guys, and they'll give it everything. So, yeah, a confident group with a lot of firepower. So I think we have every reason to be confident going into it.
Jason, it's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Thanks very much for joining us.
Anytime, mate, no problem.
Many thanks to Jason Hewitt for joining us there and talking to me earlier. Got to say, guys, interesting interview, but for his performances on the ice, it's like he's never been away. And when you think he's been playing National League for so many seasons, I mean, he's really come in and he's really been impressive.
Yeah, I mentioned it last week. He was one of the players I picked out as my stars of the series so far, if you like. As bad as that was, I mean, he's absolutely killed it in the NIHL, hasn't he? And then a few of us were chatting while that interview was going out about, you know, can you see him getting a job back in Sheffield maybe next season as a player? He's done that well, and I think he could still play elite league level. I think it just depends on the levels of imports. If they were to reduce the imports to perhaps not quite as low as we've got him at the moment, but maybe 10 or 11, I think there's still a job there for Hewitt in Sheffield or wherever.
There has been talk, as we said in the interview, about the possibility of maybe going out to the World Championships with Great Britain. I mean, Noel, he's got the experience to do a job, but it's like he said, he would jump at the chance, but he thinks that it's maybe a possibility of younger players going. I mean, what's your stance on that?
I think it's interesting because you mentioned this as well about one that's still learning, and he's still learning new things. Like, I mean, he's around a long time and he still has that mindset. I think he could be quite good in the room as such, but at the same time, I do think with the lack of relegation this time around, do you blood more in young guys with the thinking that next season they've had that experience? That's that interesting thing. Like, what mix of older guys do you send to give them that kind of, you know, the heads up as, I mean, you do this, you don't do this, combined with how many do you want to send to say, like, this is your first tournament, next year is a real big push. Do what they can this year, obviously, but with the lack of relegation, is it a chance? I don't know. It's an interesting one to me because I can see both sides of that argument. I think from what you're saying, that it'd be interesting to be part of the squad and help on that level as well as just obviously on the ice.
Hey, Tina, going back to your favourite discussion point and what he mentioned about the netminders, obviously Ben Churchfield and Curtis Warburton getting their opportunity because John Muse took an injury in that first game. And that can only be good for the depth of the British netminder pool.
Well, like I said, I can't remember if it was last podcast or podcast before. I like this tournament because you're forced to play your Brits. You know, you can't have, you know, my bugbear of them being sat on the bench doing nothing. The Steelers have had the unfortunate incident of, you know, us breaking their starting netminder. I'm not being serious before anybody wants to at me. It's a joke. Chill out. Because they don't have another option. You can't just magically bring somebody else in into the bubble. So, you know, Churchfield and Warburton have got to be used. And it's worked well. It's worked well for them. And you know, it's great. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Gospels come in for, is it a couple of games now that he's played for the Storm? Great. Fantastic. Unfortunately for Gospel, I don't think he's sort of close to the conversation about, you know, for GB. I think it's just not worked out for him. The opportunity is just, you know, it's just not unfolded. So, but, you know, to watch like Churchfield and Warburton, it does give you confidence that when Ben Bounds is done, when Jackson Whistle's done, that you've got somebody else to look to, and this kind of tournament will give them the experience and the confidence to, you know, be the next guys to be GB's number one perhaps in the future. I'd like what Hughie said in the interview regarding British depth. It's not, you know, it's obviously it's not a never ending pool. And it's encouraging. It's very encouraging. I love talking about young Brits and netminders. It's, you know, two of my favourite topics wrapped up in two guys. Fantastic.
Okay, well, a quick look ahead to the games coming up. The final rounds of games coming up over the next few days. So tomorrow night, Storm taking on the Panthers. On Thursday, it's Blaze against the Steelers once again. Saturday, Blaze against Storm at 2, Steelers-Panthers at 7. On Sunday, Panthers-Blaze at 2 and Storm against Steelers at 7. And then we go into the semi-finals. So, all coming to a head nicely. Well, we are almost out of time, so we will have to go. We will be back again next week to look back on those games coming up and then to look ahead to the semi-finals as well. Before we go, I'd just like to say a big, big thank you to our Belfast correspondent, Noel Gillespie, for coming on. Noel, have you enjoyed yourself?
Cheers, not a problem. Yes, enjoyed it. Absolutely.
Great to have you on, and thanks very much for taking the time to come on as well. And as always, it's a big thank you to Antoine Marie-Jean.
Cheers very much, Jono. Glazers out.
And, of course, the lover of Brits and netminders, it's... a very good night to Tina Taylor.
TTFN.
And thank you very much to you for listening. Join us again next week. But for now, from the Cat's Whiskers, it's goodbye.